Today's shiur is Masech Tchulin Daf Kuf Chav Vav, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Chav A Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. To quickly review where our sugya begins, we learned in the Mishnah the halachas of different types of bones and the ability to transmit tumah. And the Mishnah began by speaking about the kulyas hameis, the bone of a mace. And the Mishnah said that it's metama ba'oyel. The Gemara was medayik. The fact that the Mishnah says it's metama ba'oyel, and not that it said that it's metama, the Mishnah said that it's metama maga, and not that it's metama ba'oyel, it seems that there is no tumas oil in the case of our Mishnah. And the Gemara gave explanations as why there's tumas maga and tumas masa in the kulyus of the Mishnah, and not tumas oil. But then the Gemara suggested the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, who says that actually the Mishnah holds that there's Tumas Oyel as well. Why did the Mishnah only use the word Tumas Maga? So Rabbi Yochanan said, because Tumas Maga and Tumas Oyel, when it says Tumas Maga, means Tumas Oyel as well. In other words, Tumas Maga and Tumas Oyel are considered one category. And the Gemara began to look for Amanda Omer that holds indeed that Tumas Maga and Tumas Oil are one and the same. And the Gemara said, the Gemara identified, certainly at least according to Rava, that the Tana who holds that Maga and Oil, Tumas Maga and Tumas Oil, are considered one category is Reb Yossi. But then, in the last piece of Gemara that we learned yesterday, the Gemara spoke about a case where there's a hefsik, where there's some sort of a mechitza between the mace and what's above him. And the question is, does that mechitza, that bed we spoke about, have the ability to prevent the tumah from going up above the mace or not? And where the Gemara ended was that it is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who is the Tana of that Mishnah, that even though there's less than a tefach between the mace and that bed, and normally, as we discussed in the previous shiur, when there's less than a tefach of space between the mace and what's above him, we say tumah bekas v'oyla, the tumah goes up all the way. Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara said, does not subscribe to the concept of tumah bekas v'oyla, and that is exactly where our Gemara begins. The Menot Temra. From where indeed do we know that Rabbi Yossi, from where do we see that Rabbi Yossi doesn't subscribe to the concept of Tumah Bekas V'Oila? It is interesting to point out that there are Rishonim that say that even though the Gemara is about to prove that Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold of Tumah Bekas V'Oila, that's only when you have a Kazayis of a mace. But when you have a Kever, an actual grave, even Rabbi Yossi will agree to the concept of Tumah Bekas V'Oila. Here we're not speaking about a kever, we're just speaking about the kazayis for the mace. The Tanan, the Mishnah says, in Masech Ta'olos, Tevas HaMigdol, if you have a closet, Shiyesh Boi Peseach Tefach, that has a tefach between the mace and what's above it. And as the Mepharshim explain, it's specifically in a situation where there's more than a tefach between the mace and what's above him, because otherwise it will be tumah bekas v'oila, and the tumah will certainly, that's in this closet, go up. So speaking that there's more than a tefach, and there's no issue of tumah bekas v'oila. Furthermore, the Rishonim identify that the Mishnah here is speaking about a closet which is stationary, because if we have a movable closet, then the halacha would be that it will be matama everything in the house. So again, we have here this stationary closet, shiesh bar peseach tefach, that has a space of a tefach between the mace and what's above him, vein bi tziosoi peseach tefach. But the opening, there are cubicles within the closet, and each cubicle is less than a tef, the opening, the entrance to that cubicle is less than the size of a tefach. So the halacha is tumah b'taycha. If there's tumah in any one of these cubicles, habay is tumah. The house is tumah. On the other hand, tumah b'bayis, if there's tumah in the house, and you have this closet in the house, then ma shevetaychoi, it's a stationary closet, and the inside of the closet remained tahor. And the Gemara explains, the Mishnah explains, neshederach tumah lot says, because we say that the tumah that's in each one of these cubicles is going to go out of the cubicle. Machloik is how to understand why does that create tumah. Some of Farshim explained that it's a halachal Moshe Mesinai. So whenever you have such, according to this Tana, that whenever you have such spaces where the tumah can and will ultimately exit, tumah is created. Others say, since it's most likely, this is the way it seems, the most Farshim explained, this is the way the Ramah explains the Gemara, since it's most likely that tumah is going to go out this way, since it's most likely the tumah is going to go out that way, we have to be concerned that the tumah is going to go out. And since we have to have that concern, it's already considered tumah. However, if there's tumah in the house, we have no reason to be concerned that the tumah in the house is ultimately going to find its way into one of these cubicles. Very terech tumah likanis. We need not be concerned that tumah will enter one of these cubicles, and therefore only if there's tumah, if only if there's a kazayis mace in one of the cubicles, are we concerned that, and say there's tumah in the house, not vice versa. Rav Yossi Natar, Rav Yossi says Tar, Menachit b'nei sh'yachol o'tzi l'chatzoyim, o'il y'sarfe b'mekoymai. Rav Yossi says, we need not be concerned that the tumah is going to be going out of this cubicle, out of this cubicle in this closet, because we could disintegrate that tumah by burning it, or by chopping it into less than a kazayis. And as the Chazon Ish explains, even though certainly it's usur to treat part of a mace that way by burning it or dismembering it, the Mishnah is referring to a situation where somebody's going to do what's wrong. And he goes on to explain that how will somebody come to do something so terrible of mistreating the mace. He says, since here we're not obviously speaking about a whole mace, we're only speaking about a kazayas of a mace, people are less careful about treating only a piece of a mace with the same respect that they treat an entire mace. Another pshat that I saw in the Mefarshim is that Rav Yossi doesn't necessarily mean that it will be mistreated by taking out, by burning, which is obviously usur, but it's going to be the entire closet will be moved to a place where, as we're going to learn further in the Mishnah, it would not be tummy. But tummy sefer, and we indeed learn in the sefer of our Mishnah, hamida b'pesach, if the closet is moved, or peskel chutz, where the openings are facing the outside of the house, there our work is tumah v'taychoi, even though there are tumah, there are kazeis of a mace in these cubicles, halok is abayis tahor. Tumah abayis, and certainly there's tumah abayis, mashi v'taychoi tahor. V'tani Allah, and the Braisa concludes, Rav Yossi Metaher. Rav Yossi says, in this situation, it's tahor. And now the question is, to which situation is Rav Yossi referring to? Ahai, regarding which situation is Rav Yossi speaking? Ilema Sefer, it was speaking about the Sefer where the opening of these cubicles are facing outside. So, we don't need Rav Yossi to Metaher, ask the Gemara. Tanakama, Nami, the Tanakhama in such a situation also says it's tahor. So then I don't need Rav Yossi to come along and teach us a new kula, says the Gemara. Ella, the Kama Tanakhama. Tanakhama said, tumah b'taychoi. When there's tumah in this closet, habay is tumah. And there are two reasons why there could be possible tumah. Either because of the reason that we explained, mishum the derech tumah lotzeis, because you have these openings through which the tumah will be going out of the house, e mishum the tumah bekas, or because there's a concern of tumah bekas v'oilam. What makes us say that that is one of the concerns in that case? So the Mefarshim point out, because as we began the Gemara, it speaks about a case where there's Peseach Tefach. Why did we have to speak about a case where there's Peseach Tefach? Specifically, for this very reason, to teach us that there is no concern for Tumah Bekas. To which the Gemara continues saying, the Kamlei Rav Yosi, the Karmit, the concern that you raised about Derech Tumah Lotzeis, that I don't consider a concern, because Yochel Hu Laitzei, it can always be taken out, Lachatzon, in pieces, or Lasar from Mekayma. So I don't consider that a real concern. Or the Karmit, the concern that you spoke about, Tumah Tumuna Bekas, the concern of Tumah Bekas for Allah, I don't hold of that concern. I hold Tumah Tumuna and Bekas. So here we see, from where we know that Rabbi Yossi is not concerned about the concern about the issue of Tumah Bekas for Allah, and that's why the explanation that we gave at the end of the Gemara yesterday, that Rabbi Yossi doesn't subscribe to that concern, this is the basis for that opinion. Now, says the Gemara, is that indeed the case? The Rav Yossi doesn't hold of Tumah Bekas V'Oilah. The Rami, the Rav Yossi, and Rav Yossi. I will ask you a question. But a word of introduction, as the Rishonim give us this introduction. The halacha is that were an animal, let's say a dog, because that's the case that we're speaking about, to swallow a kazayis of a mace. So certainly, as long as the dog is alive, and the dog is in the house, we don't have to worry about the fact that there's a mace in the stomach of that dog, because that's called a tumah balua, and we've discussed many times that tumah balua does not have the ability to transmit tumah. Furthermore, as the Me'iri teaches us, if the dog ate the meat more than 3 days ago, we assume the halacha is that that mace has already been digested, and since it's digested, it also doesn't give off tumah. The case that we're referring to is that we're about to discuss is where there's a dog that ate a kazayas of the mace, and after it ate a kazayas of the mace, it died. And it died within 3 days of eating it. And the question is, will that kazayas of mace that's in the stomach of this dog give off tumah? The Tanan. So the Gemara begins. The Mishnah says, Masechta Olos. A kelef she'ochel basar mace. A dog that ate a kazayas of mace. Or mace a kelef. And the dog is dead. Or mutal ala skupa. And the dog is lying across the threshold of the house with the neck inside the threshold. Remeya says, Im yesh b'tzavore peseich tefach, if the neck of the dog is 1 cubic tefach, measures 1 cubic tefach, and the way we come to that measurement of 1 cubic tefach, explained to Rishonim, is that we measure the circumference of the neck of that dog, and if the circumference of that neck is 3 tefachim, then we say there's a tefach within side of it. And says Rav Meir, under those circumstances, maybe it's a tumah. It's considered an oil on the food that's in the stomach. Once the neck measures 1 cubic tefach, Rav Meir is of the opinion that creates a situation of oil. And therefore, since there's the kazayas of the mace in the stomach of this dog, and even though the stomach of the dog is not inside the house, but it's considered in the same oil, or it's considered to be in the same oil, and the neck is in the house, and therefore it's considered as if there's tumah in this house. And as the Rishonim explain, what is the basis of Rav Meir's opinion? That even though there isn't actually a full tefach here, it's only a tefach, we only have a cubic tefach, but we don't have a full tefach inside the neck. They explain Rav Meir is following his opinion, that we know the opinion of Rav Meir is chaykikin lahashlam. We know we learned in Masechta Shabbos that the halacha is that there's an area that's called a makom p'tor. A makom p'tor is an area that's not dalad by dalad tfachim. And if it's not dalad by dalad tfachim, it's not considered a rishus hayachid. Yet Ramea says that if something lands on a place or is lifted from a place that isn't dalad by dalad tfachim wide, but it could be carved out into such a space, the halacha views it as a dalad by dalad. Similarly, in our situation, Ramea will hold that even though the actual neck of this animal isn't that big, but it has this minimal amount, then we say chaykikim lahashlim. There are rishonim that explain the Ramea's opinion is not based on chaykikim lahashlim. It's a special halacha gzeru shava. It's a special halacha Moshe Mitzrayim regarding tumah. Nimlav, but if it doesn't measure 1 cubic tefach, ena mevius tumah. Then it won't be considered an oil and cannot bring tumah to the house. Rav Yossi says differently. We have to examine the situation. If the stomach of the animal, if the actual kazayis of the mace is within the house, then the house is tamei. But if the stomach of the animal is outside, habay is tar. And we're going to explain Rabbi Yossi's opinions later more extensively. Rabbi Elazar Omer, piv lefnim, if its mouth is facing inside the house, habayis tahor, piv l'chutz, but if its mouth is facing outside, and therefore its rectum is facing inside the house, habayis tamei. Neisha tumei yoytze derek shulav. Because the way something usually goes out is not that it goes out through the mouth, it goes out through the back. And therefore, if the back of the animal is facing inside the house, that's why it's tummy. Of course, the Mefarshim have a very hard time and understanding Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Could they explain, of course, normally, something that's expelled by the body goes out through the rectum. But that's by a living thing. Here, as we're speaking about a dead dog. A dead dog doesn't expel anything. So why is it considered tamei? Because it can come out through the back. So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that actually Rabbi Elazar is always of the opinion that we look that it could come out from the back. Just when the animal is alive, the animal is constantly on the move. And therefore we don't pay consideration to the fact that it can come out from the back. Here, however, we're speaking about a dead animal. A dead animal is stationary, obviously can't move on its own. Therefore, we have to be concerned from the fact that it could come out from the back, even though in this specific situation, it won't come out from the back, because the animal's dead. Another pshat that I saw in understanding Rabbi Elazar is as follows. Of course, the animal can't expel anything, actually not through its mouth, nor through its back, because it's dead. But Rabbi Elazar doesn't agree with Ramea, that if you have such a small area, just 1 cubic tefach, it should be considered an oil. Why? Because we explain that the basis of Ramea's opinion is chaykikin lahashlim. And Rabbi Elazar doesn't agree with the concept of chaykikin lahashlim. But Rabbi Elazar does hold that the back of the animal is certainly wide enough. And if the tumah finds itself in the back of the animal, there we don't have to say the chiddush of chaykikin lahashlim, and therefore the house will be tamei. Rabbi Yudben Seiroimer, Benkach, whether it's the mouth of the animal or the back of the animal facing the house, habay is tamei. What is the basis? What is the explanation of Yudben Seiroimer's opinion? So I saw two explanations. One explanation is Rabbi Yudben Seiroimer takes into consideration any way that the food can be expelled from the animal. And the food can be expelled from the animal through its mouth, or the food can be expelled from the animal through its back. And therefore, it makes no difference which part is facing the house. Another way of understanding of Yehuda ben Seirah, the Mefarshim suggest, is as follows. The back of the animal is, as Rabbi Elazar said, the place through which the food is normally expelled. And that's why he looks at the back of the animal. The mouth of the animal, although Rabbi Yehuda agrees, is not the way normally food is expelled, but it is the place through which the food entered, the kazayis mace entered the body of the stall. And he said that we don't only look at where the food exits the animal, we also take into consideration the place where the kazayis mace entered the body of the animal. Now, let's go back to Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Rabbi Yossi said, we have to look where is the stomach. Is it inside the house or outside the house? My love, isn't Rabbi Yossi referring to a situation? I aim at Savore by saying Tafak Rabbi Yossi, that the neck of the animal is not a Tafak. So therefore, Tumah does not spread here because of Tumah's oil, because it's not an oil. It doesn't have a Tafak. Only Remeir takes the opinion that it doesn't have to have a tefach, and still, it could be considered an oil. So what's the difference if the stomach is inside or not? Obviously, Shmamina, because the basis for Yossi's opinion is based on Tumah Tumuna Bekas. He says that the mace, the Kazayis mace, is in the stomach of the stork. And if the stomach of the stork is within the house, we have a situation of Tumah Tumuna. Because there's less than a tefach, obviously, between the kazayis mace, which is in the stomach of the dog, and the top of the dog. So obviously, and that's why the tumah enters the entire house. Whereas if the stomach is outside of the house, so then there is no tumah tumuna in the house, and therefore there is no tumah in the house. But we see from here that the entire basis of Rabbi Yossi's opinion in this Mishnah is based on him holding tumah tumuna. So we're saying that Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold of Tumah Tumuna. Here we see that the only way it seems that we can understand Rabbi Yossi's opinion in that Mishnah is by having Rabbi Yossi subscribe to the concept of Tumah Tumuna. Says the Amar Rava, that's not the way to understand the Mishnah. We're speaking about the neck. The fact that the stomach has a Tumah Tumuna is immaterial to Rabbi Yossi. Because Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold of Tumah Tumuna. And Rabbi Yossi says, we look at the neck, Ro'in es chalal ha'tumah k'tani. We look at the neck of the animal. And if the neck of the animal is the proper measurement to make it into an oil, then the house will be Tumah, because Tumah is oil, otherwise not. And therefore the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi, the Tarti Poli. Rabbi Yossi is actually arguing Ramei on 2 points. The Kamalei Ramei. Real, he says to Ramei as follows. The key, the comment that you said, that if there's a space of tefach in the neck, maybe it's a tumah, that's enough for it to be ketumah's oil. He says, I disagree. Anan basa chalola is lean. I look at the airspace of the tumah. The interior of the neck has to have that tefach. It's not enough, that cubic tefach. It isn't enough that you include the outside. That's one thing I disagree with you. Furthermore, says Rabbi Yossi to Rameya, Udaka Amrit, al skupa kula tame, that if the dog's mouth is located anywhere on the threshold, the house is tame, I disagree. I say, Mikinegra Shokahulf name, if the mouth is located from the doorstep inward, then Habai is tame, Mikineget Hashokahulchutz, but if it's located outside of the doorstep, it's tahor. That means, Rameya holds that the entire width of the threshold is considered as if it's inside the house. So if the dog's neck, when it's an oil, is located anywhere in the threshold, the house is tamei. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, holds that the only part of the threshold that's considered to be inside the house is the part inside the doorstop. The doorstop was the indentation in the door frame against which the door closes. So therefore, he says, even if the throat of the neck has the proper measurement that it should be an oil, it won't be enough. Tumah will only enter the house if the dog's mouth is inside the doorstop. Tosfos makes an interesting point. Tosfos says that if the area of the threshold outward of the dower step measures a tefach or more, then that area is an oil in its own right. So therefore, if the dog's mouth would be located there, the tumah coming from the mouth will fill the entire doorway, and therefore will go afterwards will spread into the house through through the open doorway. So Tosfos says it has to be speaking about a doorstop, a threshold that is not a defach deep. So now the Gemara actually continued proving that Rav Yossi does not hold with Tumah Bekas. Rav Acha, says the Gemara, Bereid Rav Masna Behedya, he learned this explanation explicitly. Rav Yossi Oima, Roin as Chalal Tumah. We have to look at the throat. The point that he's making is we have to look at the throat. He's not speaking about Tumah Bekas at all, because he does not hold of the concept of Tumah Bekas. So as we said at the beginning of our shiur today, in our introductory remarks, the explanation of our Mishnah by Rabbi Yochanan was completely based on holding that Tumas Oil and Tumas Maga are one category. And we've been explaining that who is the Tana that indeed holds Tumas Oil and Tumas Maga is one category? It's Rabbi Yossi. Says the Ramat Tana de Polgalei. Who is the Tana that disagrees and holds that Tumas Oil and Tumas Maga are two separate categories? Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon. It is the opinion of Rav Shimon. The Tanya, Rav Shimon Oima. Sholosh Tumas Parshas Min Ameis. Of course, when we speak about a mace, and we speak about a Kazayis Min Ameis, as we've been learning, there are three types of Tuma that apply. Tumas Maga, Tumas Masa, and Tumas Oil. But when we speak about a mace, as we are now going to see, we don't only speak about the mace itself, or a kazayis of the mace. There are other types of parts of the mace that are considered also mace. And the grace that we're about to begin speaks about what types of tumah apply to those cases of a mace. So says the grace, Sholosh tumas parshas min ameis. There are three types of mace. That by each one of these types of mace, shtayim bekolathas, two of the types of tumah that we just enumerated will apply. The shlishis amen, but the third type won't apply. Velein, what are these three tumas mace that we speak about? Molei tarvid rekav, a handful of dust of a mace. Etzem kesayra, a bone of a mace the size even of a barley. The goyel of a doifik, Rashi explains that the goyel of a doifik are the sides and the top of the coffin of a mace. And the Rishonim explain, according to Rashi, it was meant, they were meant to be there permanently. Rabbeinu Tam seems to learn that the goyel of a doifik are a stone that was put on top of the grave of a mace. Furthermore, there's a machlokes Rishonim that we're learning now that the goyel of the doifik is tamei, is that only when it's when the mace is in there, or the goyel of the doifik remain tamei even when the mace is not there? And the Brice says, Mala tavid rekav, when we speak about the tavid rekav, the tamba massive oil, tumas massa and tumas oil are there, better tamba maga, but there's no tumas maga, as we explained in the previous year, because each particle of this dust is considered separate, so we don't have a situation that is touching the whole tarvid at one time. So we speak about tumas mag by mace, it must be a machmehen by one of the other tumas. Etzim kasoira, metam by masa by maga. Etzim kasoira has tumas masa and tumas maga, vehem metam boil, but does not have tumas oil. Why doesn't it have tumas oil? Halach l'moshe m'sinai. The halach l'moshe m'sinai teaches us that it has to have the proper shear, and this is not considered that it had the proper shear. Behechad Aalon, so where is their Tumas oil? Emachs Mehen, and one of the other types of Tumah. Goyel of a Doifik, when we speak about the Goyel of a Doifik, the Matama of a Mag of oil, then Matama of a Masa. The Nat Matama of a Masa. Again, that's our Lachal Mosh Mesimah. Behechad Masoi, where is their Tumas Masa by Mace? And Mechad Mehen. Either by a Molei Tarvid Rekav or by the Etzim Kusayim. But what do we see from here? What we see from here is Rav Shimon is teaching us that the Tarvid Rekav has oil and doesn't have magav. But if oil and magav are considered one category of tumah, then why is oil only applicable and not magav? It must be because they're considered two separate categories. And as the Rishonim point out, maybe tumas magav and tumas oil are one category. And the reason the Braisa here is saying that there is no tumas magav is only because of technical difficulty, as we explained, because you can't have tumas magav because each particle is separate. So we explained in the previous year that tumas magav could also be when something is within a tefach of the mace. So why isn't it considered, if magav and oil are one, so that should be oil of magav. The fact that he completely, Rav Shimon completely excludes Tarvit Rekav from Tumas Magav is clearly an indication that Magav and oil, in his opinion, are two separate categories of Tumah, which is the pshat that is not like Rav Yossi. It's the pshat, the other pshat that we learned in the Mishnah, that Tumas Magav and Tumas oil are different categories. The Mishnah said that Kolius Nevela, Kolius Hasheretz, the koyel of a nevela and a sheretz are metama, but the bone itself is not metama. Only the meat has the ability to be metama. And because only the meat has the ability to be metama, we learned in the Mishnah that if you had the bone that has no meat on it, and not only has no meat in it, but there's no way of accessing that meat because it's a complete whole bone with no hole in it, it won't be matam. So says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, how do we come to this? B'nevlasa, only if you touch a nevela, v'loy b'kulastuma, not enclosed bone. Yachol continues the Braisa, afil nikva, even if this marrow bone has a hole in it, it won't be matama. Hamaloyma hanigei yitma. Esha efshaliga, if that meat is accessible, tamei. But if the meat is completely inaccessible because the bone has no hole, then it's tall. If that's the halacha, that in order to have tumah, the meat has to be accessible. And if the meat is not accessible, there won't be tumah. So if so, when we have a dead animal, which is certainly a situation of an nevela, but it's completely closed by its, and completely enclosed by its hide, it should be tamei. Replies Abaya, Pukhazi, Cham the Kavim Yeshba. Even when you have a dead animal that's covered by its hide, it has many openings, the mouth, the nostrils, the eyes, and therefore it's considered that the flesh is accessible. But then ask the Gemara, Amalei Apapala Rava, Ela Ma'ato, as we learned earlier, the kidney is covered completely by a coating of chelv. So if you have the kidney of a nevela, so even though that nevela is certainly the flesh of a nevela and should be tameh, but the fact that it's completely enclosed by this layer of chelv, it should prevent it from being tameh. Answers Rava, tamachazi kamechutin shokher menu. Look at all of the different strands of blood vessels and nerves that go through the fat that are around the kidney, and those blood vessels and nerves are considered like flesh, and therefore they have tumas nevela. The Farshi make an interesting point. They say in the first teretz, the Gemara used, when we spoke about the animal covered by its hide, the Gemara used the words Pukhazi. By this teretz, the Gemara used the words Tochazi. Why does the Gemara use different wording? So they explain. By an animal covered by hide, it's very obvious that there are a lot of openings. Everybody sees the mouth and the ear and the eyes and the nostrils. On the other hand, when we look at the kidney covered by the fat, there it's not so obvious that there are pieces of flesh within that chelif, and therefore the Gemara uses a different wording of tochazi. Ask the Gemara, boy, Reb Oshia, chishav lov lanakfa, if somebody intended to puncture the marrow bone, however, v'loy nokta, he hasn't yet punctured it. Mahu. Mechusa nekiva ke mechusa ma'isadami. The fact that it hasn't yet been punctured prevents it from being considered tame, because as we're learning, the meat, the marrow, has to be accessible in order that there should be tuma here, or loy. The fact that there was a decision to puncture it is enough. And as the Achronim explained, why would we think that a decision to puncture is adequate? Because the halacha is that a kli cheres, another weird keli, that has a tzomet puzzle, that has a seal around it, doesn't have tumas maga. Because the maga of a kli cheres is only within the kli cheres, and here, you can't put your hand in the kli cheres, but it's because it's sealed. But the halacha is that if a zov moves that kli cheres, hesed azov, it's tumah. And the question is, haven't we learned in our previous shurim, ashebolachla maga bolachla masa, if tumas maga is possible, then tumas masa is possible, vesh ain't a bolachla maga, however, if tumas maga is not possible, ain't a bolachla masa, then tumas masa is not possible either. So here where it's sealed, and therefore tumas maga isn't possible, tumas masa ought not to be possible either. Why is tumas masa possible? The answer is because the seal is ultimately going to be taken off this kli cheres. So we see the fact that something ultimately will happen is a factor to take into consideration when we speak about hilchas tumah. And therefore the Gemara asks, perhaps the same here. Even though this marrow bone isn't yet punctured, but the fact that there's an intention to puncture should give it the halachic status of a punctured bone. And how the pashta, and indeed he answers, mechusa nekiva, lach mechusa ma'isadami, the fact that there's an intention to puncture makes it be considered as if it's punctured, and it will have tumas maga. And the mefarshim explain why. Because we just learned that what is the basis for this entire halacha. The pasuk uses the word yitma. Now yitma speaks about the future. So from here we see that something that will happen in the future is already enough to create tumah. We know that the Torah teaches us that the Shemayin Shrotzim, there are 8 Shemayin Shrotzim, that when they're dead, they give off tumah. Teaches us the Mishnah, the base of Sheretz Amarun Kemes. If you have the Sheretz, this embryo of this of one of these Shrotzim, that already has been formed, but it's in a shell, it's Tahira. But again, nit for Kalshu, even if there's a minor puncture, it's tumah. Our Mishnah now starts to continue speaking about the Sheretz. And in the time of Chazal, as the Rambam already points out, they believe that Shrotzim don't only form from eggs, but Shrotzim can also form from dirt. Dirt can ultimately turn into a Sheretz. In fact, I saw a very nice word from Rav Chaim Kanievsky in the Sefer Time of the Craw. He says that it's interesting when the Torah says Aschayis ha'oretz ves remes ha'adoma. So he says that we see that a remes, a sheketz, a sheretz could come even just from the adoma, the ground could form into a sheretz. And therefore says the Mishnah, Achbar, shechet shibasar v'chet adoma. We have an achbar which is half basar and half adoma, it's forming into basar. Says the Mishnah, again, the basar, if you touch the flesh part, it's tameh. And you touch that dhamma part, it's tahar. If Yehuda Omer, Yehuda ever holds, ask Hanigay Vadama Shnegra Basar, if you touch the earth opposite where it's flesh, you will be tameh. Says the Gemara Tanabana Tameyim. The Pasuk says regarding the Shrotzim, the Rabbis, Beis Hasheretz, the Kulis Hasheretz. That the Beis Hasheretz and the Kulis Hasheretz are also tameh. Of course, the Rishonim discuss that, as I said, a sheretz only gives off tumah when it's dead. So why is a beis sheretz considered tumah? Where is it dead? So I saw 2 pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat in the Rishonim is that until it's completely alive, it has no neshama. And because it has no neshama, it's considered halakhically dead. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that we're speaking here about a sheretz that started off, the embryo started off alive, and it died. And therefore, it's considered one of the shvatzim. Yochel continues the braisa. I feel loy ritma. If the embryo hasn't even formed into an egg, it still could give tumah. Tamoy ma sheretz. Ma sheretz shuriken. A regular sheretz has already been formed. Abeis a sheretz is referring to a situation, shurikma, that it formed into a sheretz. Yochel, I feel loy mitzvah. We would think that this halach applies even when the etchel has not been punctured. Tamalayma hanageya yitva. Esha efsha liga. If one could access the sheretz tamei, v'shi efsha liga, but if the sheretz is inaccessible, it's tall. The kamni kvasoi, but how much of a puncture must it have to be considered accessible? Says the braisa, k'chot asara. Even if it has a puncture just as wide as a strand of hair, because once it has such a puncture, efshaliga b'chota sara, through that sara, you could access the sheretz inside the etcha. So the Mishnah spoke about the achbar which is made from earth, which is chatzia basar, chatzia adam. Arav Shuman Levi, this that we said, the Tanakhama said, that if you touch the flesh of such an achbar, yutamei, it's only v'hushishis of nekula, that there's an entire there's a line of flesh that form along the entire length of the creature. But if you don't even have that much flesh, it won't convey tumah. However, ik de masmalei sefer, there are those that say Rabbi Shua ben Levi's statement regarding the sefer. It said in the sefer Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af hanegei ba'adamah shekinegei basa tamei, that even if you didn't touch the flesh part of this achbar, if you touch the Adama part of the Akbar, the Tameh, on Rabbi Shuma Levi, to which Rabbi Shuma Levi says, who should shoot the Nekula? When is that halacha applied? That even if you touch the Adama part, you'll be Tameh? That's only if it turned into sheretz along the entire length of one side. Says the Gemara, man the Masnua Reisha, if in the Reisha, will you actually touch the flesh? Says Rabbi Shuma Levi, you're not Tameh. Unless that flesh formed along the entire one side, at least along one side of this creature, Koshken HaSeifer, when you're not touching the flesh, where Yeshua ben Levi say that in order to be Tamei for touching that Adama, you have to have at least that much flesh that formed along one side of the creature. However, Man the Masnua Seifer, the one that has Yeshua ben Levi statement regarding the Seifer, that's where, since you're only touching that Adama, and you're still going to be Tamei according to Yehuda for touching that Dhamma, you have to have at least that much flesh that it formed along one side. Then Rabbi Yehuda says his Chumra, that not only you Tamei when you touch the flesh, but you even Tamei when you touch the Adama. Abu Reisha. But according to this version in the Reisha, where you're actually touching the Basar, the flesh of this Achbar, it doesn't make a difference. I forgot the Lagishits. Even though it didn't turn that much into an Achbar, you don't have flesh along one whole side, it won't make a difference. He'll hold, if you touch the flesh part, the basa part of this achbar, you will be tummy.